This is Akashvani. In the weekly program Current Affairs, now we bring you a discussion on comprehensive development of Northeast India. The participants are Subimal Bhattacharji, political analyst, and Deeksha Saxena, Akashvani correspondent.
The seven sisters of the Northeast India, namely Arunachal Pradesh, Assam, Meghalaya, Manipur, Mizoram, Nagaland, Tripura, and one brother state, Sikkim, are immensely beautiful. Each state possesses unique features, from wildlife to lush green landscapes. The entire region can steal your heart. The government has constantly been working to enhance the infrastructure and the overall development of the region. To discuss more on this, we are joined by Mr. Subimal Bhattacharji, political analyst. We also have with us our correspondents from Guwahati, Mr. Manas Pratim Sarma, from Agartala, Mr. Kunal Shinde, Mr. Manik Chatterjee from Gangtok, and Mr. Paritosh Dikshit from Shillong. Welcome all to the program.
Thank you very much.
Comprehensive development of the Northeast India is vital for country's growth. Mr. Bhattacharji, taking this forward, today Prime Minister Narendra Modi inaugurated the first Ashtalakshmi Mahotsav in the national capital. The festival, which was inaugurated on December 6th, will go on till 8th of December. First of all, could you talk about the festival and the features which makes it so unique?
Thank you very much. I think this is a great festival that is happening for the first time in Delhi, Ashtalakshmi Mahotsav. And if you go back about 6-7 years back, Honorable Prime Minister had named Northeastern region as Ashtalakshmi. And today in the function, in the inaugural, he vividly described how all the eight features of Goddess Lakshmi are resplendent in all the states of the Northeastern region. And to showcase this as an event where you are showing the musical talent, the cultural extravaganza, the food habits, the various kinds of agriculture as well as horticulture produce, the handicrafts and the handloom. So all of that characterize the various tribes, sub-tribes of the Northeastern region across the eight states, they are being showcased in a very big manner in Delhi, where apart from these festivities, there is also a display and massive exhibition. So I think, you know, the whole effort has been towards a wider connectivity. And as the Prime Minister himself mentioned, that there are three E's for this whole effort: emotion, economy, and ecology. So if you see emotion, it means that, you know, that there should be this connect, and that is that whole effort of the last 10 years that has been doing. Economy, because of the activities, because of the perception change of the region, because of so much of infrastructure build-up, there has been a build-up of the economy where new entrepreneurs are also coming. And then ecology. Northeast has a lot of sustainable activities by most of the tribes. They have their own unique ways of maintaining sustainability. It's a very ecologically also fragile region. So when you look at overall Northeast picture, as it is emerging, these three E's, you know, emotion, economy, and ecology, is very, very much vivid. And that is where the whole effort of Ashtalakshmi Mahotsav is, to see that Northeast comes up with all these three characteristics.
We will decode each point of your answer. But first of all, in your opinion, how is this festival so important to integrate the unique culture and potential of the Northeast region with the entire country? Since you also spoke about the connectivity, and Prime Minister has also emphasized a lot on it.
See, as I mentioned, all the states of the region have various tribes and sub-tribes, and they all have their unique identities, whether in form of dress, whether in terms of food habit, whether in terms of the dance form, or whether in terms of, you know, how they build up the handicrafts and handloom. Now, today it is being made possible to showcase it to not only people of all over the country or the world, but also to the Northeast region as such. For example, something in Garo Hills might not be known almost in Arunachal Pradesh, or what is in Tripura isn't known even in neighboring Mizoram. So that disconnect that has been there for so long, now that is trying to be dispelled off. And of course, the age of internet, the age of social media, the age of the possibility of putting up everything on the internet for people to see and understand, I think these things are being used. Technology is being also used to see that how do you build on the connectivity that is possible, but that has been somehow missing. So the whole festival's effort is to take advantage of this current point of time where in the last 10 years, a lot of infrastructure buildup has happened in the region. A lot of entrepreneurship has been encouraged. A lot of tourism potential is being realized. A lot of cultural exchanges are being realized. So when all of these things are at a certain point of time happening at various places with various levels of vibrancy, if you showcase them all together up here in the national capital to a much larger audience, I think the messaging is far much better and the intermingling helps in far much building that emotional connect.
Mr. Bhattacharya, I would now like to talk to you about the PM Divine scheme, the scheme that was announced in the Union Budget 2022-23 for the period from 2022-23 to 2025-26, and the approved expenditure outlay is 6,600 crore rupees. Could you first talk about the genesis of the scheme and how is it enhancing the development in the region?
Yeah, I think PM Divine scheme, and then you mentioned the figures of about, 6,000 crores being done in such a short period of time. So it is identifying and making funds available to unique projects across the northeastern region in, various forms. For example, a university could be having a new AI center. We're using AI, you could do some kind of activity. So idea is to cover a certain region with a certain idea and a project and, bring it up to scale for overall, not only in the region, but up to the national level. If you see, ever since Prime Minister Modi has taken over, some of the industrial schemes, the approach to what was enhanced ever since he came. You had the Northeastern Industrial Development Scheme, then you have now since March this year, you have the Unnati scheme. So that all allows the infrastructure build up. You have the PM Gati Shakti that looks at, how to enhance the pace and focus of the projects. And then you also have a Northeast Special Infrastructure Development Scheme under which I think some 60 projects are being funded since the last 3 years at covering a large part of the bottleneck. So what has happened in all these efforts is that your rail connectivity, your road connectivity, your bandwidth related connectivity, your air connectivity all have really seen a focused improvement, which has allowed even people within the northeastern states to travel from one state to the other, meet people, see religious or other tourism symbols and all. In fact, just about a week back in Kaziranga, the Northeast Tourism Festival was held. It was a roaring success. So many foreigners came. You had the Hornbill Festival in Nagaland from the 1st of December. It's now become almost something of on the world circuit. You have the Zero Music Festival. You had the Cherry Blossom Festival last weekend in Shillong. Then a few literary festivals have come up. The first Aizawl Literary Festival had come up. So all these things are now happening. Now, why it is happening? Because there has been a lot of connectivity via infrastructure by which people can travel, people can intermingle, and PM Divine is also doing a lot of projects that facilitates or builds up also on that infrastructure that is created.
I would now like to bring in our Guwahati correspondent, Mr. Manas Pratim Sarma. Manas, first of all, please enlighten us about the law and order situation, which has considerably seen an improvement in the northeastern region, because a good law and order situation is the basis and it helps in improving the tourism and the overall development of the region. Please enlighten us about it.
Yes, the law and order situation in the peaceful northeast was the precondition of having all this. And of course, in the last 10, 11 years, we have seen it's a much, improved law and order situation, not only in Assam, but also across the northeastern states. Having in Guwahati, I would like to say several militant groups, including ULFA and the Bodo group, NDFB, as well BLT, then Adivasi militants group, they have joined mainstream and they are now part of the development process. The Bodo Peace Accord, there is a massive turnaround in Bodoland area, in BTC area, particularly in Lower Assam. And so definitely the improved law and order situation, not only in Assam, but also adjoining Meghalaya, then Tripura and Nagaland. So All these things, you know, brought the focus from law and order situation, that the focus has been shifted to development. And yes, the things have been changed. Now, just let me put one example. Like, we're discussing the brand of Northeastern States, our own identity. Let me take this point, that our very own Gamosa, in the Gamosa WhatsApp. Now, our Honorable Prime Minister had made it, he has almost become the brand ambassador of our Gamosa. We have seen him using our Gamosa in multiple occasions. Now, it has become a pan-India symbol of pride and our glory of Assamese people. We are discussing on development issues. Improved law and order situation is the hallmark of everything. Diksha?
Manas, you mentioned about the Bodo Pact, and Mr. Bhattacharji, our listeners would recall that a few days back, the Prime Minister had inaugurated the first Bodo Mahotsav in the national capital.
Yes.
How important, and I have a few questions over here to you also, Mr. Bhattacharji, and to Manas also, that how did the government negotiate the pact with the Bodo people, and how was this problem solved, and how important these festivals are to integrate them with the mainstream India?
It's very important to understand that this government has had 9 successful agreements with various militant groups. And I would rate the agreement with the Bodos and post the agreement, the work and activity that has happened, is one of the best. I think Bodoland is now vibrating. There's a lot of visible development work that has happened, and it's just not only the building and the infrastructure and the roads and all, but a lot of activities are happening. There is a literary festival that happens there. You just mentioned about this Mahotsav, where the Prime Minister spent an hour engaging. Whoever had held their own grievances in the past, once they've laid their arms down, and if they come and participate in the development of their own community, I think you cannot have a better success politically as well as even to all the other militants, also groups and all, to shun away from violence, come and participate in the community's development and prosper all together. So I think that's very, very significant that Manoj Dangoria just mentioned about, this. What happens when law and order isn't right, then the perceptions about the region, which has always been poor and as a disturbed area, that again lingers. But once now all these agreements have happened and all, the perception is changing. As soon as the perception changes, tourists go, businessmen look at opportunities. So the economic activity improves and it takes care more of the youths, who are able to themselves become entrepreneurs or participate in this business opportunity rather than going the wrong way.
In fact, all these activities have a ripple effect, not just in that particular state, but also in the region. And here I would like to bring in our correspondent from Agartala, Mr. Kunal Shinde. Kunal, Mr. Bhattacharji also spoke about the internet connectivity. And Agartala is the third only place in the country after Chennai and Bombay to be the internet gateway of the country. So in your state, how all these things are impacting the overall development of not just the youth, but the entire population? And how is it helping in economic enhancement of the state?
Before coming to your question, I would like to take you back to in the year 2014, when the new government led by Prime Minister Narendra Modi came to power at center. So previously, in that time, the policy was look east. But when Prime Minister Narendra Modi came to power, the BJP-led government came to power, the scenario and the policy took a sharp turn. It was from look east, it was act east. So accordingly, in 2018, when the BJP government came to power, led by then Chief Minister Biplab Deb, so that time the HIRA model was the talk of the town. It was discussed extensively. So what is this HIRA model? It is H for highways, I for internet, R for roadways, and A for air connectivity. So even now, when the Prime Minister comes to Tripura, this particular model he discusses extensively, very elaborately, and the government's impetus is there on this particular model accordingly. As if you go 10 years down the line, that time there were hardly one or two highways in the state, but now 6 highways, the work of 6 highways is taking place across Tripura. And accordingly, you also spoke about the internet gateway. So Agartala is the third internet gateway in the country. And also, if we talk about the bandwidth, as the expert in the studio said, so in far-flung areas in Tripura, as we know, Tripura is on the southern tip of Northeast. It's a remote state But then too, the internet connectivity which Tripura receives is very, very good. And even in far-flung areas, the internet connectivity is there. Because of some hilly terrain and areas which are very remote, like towards the Bangladesh side, there sometimes people come across some difficulties in terms of internet. And what is the benefit that people are receiving from this is that they get access to the government schemes. Ayushman Bharat, then various other schemes are there of the government, central schemes, even the state schemes. So the people are receiving the benefits of the scheme. And as a reason, like 95% of people in the state, they have the Aadhaar card. So this is a very big thing in a small state like Tripura. Also, if you talk about the roadways, as I earlier said that the highways are there, six highways projects is going on, and road connectivity in all these eight districts of the state, the road connectivity has reached the remote areas, hamlets and villages. Also, the air connectivity, the new airport which started its operation in Agartala, the Maharaja Bir Bikram Airport. So this is also one of the state-of-the-art airport, one of its kind in the Northeast. It is very attractive, very high-tech. So this has improved the air connectivity from Tripura to other parts of the country. So earlier, there were barely one or two or five flights, but now it has gone up above 220 flights in a day. And also the rail connectivity. Earlier, like 10-15 years back, there were only one train which used to come from Guwahati to Agartala, and it used to cover that particular stretch. But now there are eight trains, and also there is a train which directly connects to Bombay. So from here we can understand how much the government has invested and how much focused is the government when it comes to building the infrastructure and connectivity.
Mr. Bhattacharji, since Kunal mentioned and we had a discussion on the Act East policy, which was earlier the Look East policy. In your opinion, how important is the Act East policy when it comes to the development? How can Act East policy perform better if the Northeast India, the Northeast region is performing better and is developed, in your opinion?
Yeah, in fact, if you see, most of the development or the 21st century's development is being seen will be more in the East and particularly in Asia. Now, when you do that, Northeast is the gateway to Asia, as we see, or East Asia, as we say. So if you have to improve your business and connectivity with East Asia, you have to have better infrastructure in the Northeast. So you had to put Northeast as the fulcrum of the Act East policy of the Government of India. And that is what, from Look East to Act East, the focus has been to build up the infrastructure, build up the Northeast as a region, not only as a pass-by, but also to later build on the capacity within the region so that a lot of exports from the region can go to the, neighboring countries, Myanmar and beyond that, Cambodia, Laos, and that particular right up to Singapore, that was the original thought. In the process, the focus was always to build up the infrastructure in the Northeast and the capacity to take advantage of the infrastructure and do business, tourism, all those related aspects that help the economy.
The government is trying to promote the Northeast India as an IT hub and trying to call the investors to that particular region. What initiatives have been taken to promote the business culture in the entire Northeast?
Yeah, I think that focus has been there for quite some time, ever since the infrastructure build-up has happened. Now, if you see, people of the Northeast India have been doing very well in the service industry outside the region also. Today, the IT industry has the potential to, you can say, the next generation IT industry, which is primarily around data analytics and data centers and all of that. I think that has an advantage if it is in the Northeast, because people there have been very good in the service industry. And so I think that is not lost sight of. And if you note, as the semiconductor focus of the Government of India has been happening, one of the first semiconductor packaging plants has been given to Assam. So the investments, so more than 26,000 crores are going to happen. Most important point is that who are going to be employed? It's the young, skilled, semi-skilled individuals. But apart from the individuals who are getting jobs, there will be cascading impact of ancillary things. A vehicle driver, the roadside eatery, you can say the different kinds of vehicular activities. So I think the potential to relook at the region from a point of view where you move with the sunshine industries like IT and as well as help build the traditional industry that is there of the government.
Manas, since Mr. Bhattacharya spoke about the semiconductor industry and I was coming on to that, what effect in Assam?
Right. So before that, I just like to add what Bhattacharya Dangoria has just mentioned. In coming February, Government of Assam is having the Advantage Assam 2.0, where Honorable Prime Minister and several union ministers and foreign delegations are expected to take part. This is on to attract the business module and the investment from other countries or other states to Assam. Now coming to semiconductor, which is at Jagirot near Guwahati, of course, several apart from direct employment, of course, majority of the employment will be technical part. Along with that, the downstream impact would be like hotel industry, sort of homestay accommodation, and like Mandate. Definitely, it will certainly grow. Already process has begun, and it will hugely impact this part of the Central Assam. Yes.
Mr. Bhattacharya, Northeast India is incomplete if we do not talk about the natural beauty which the entire region possesses. And as I mentioned in my introduction itself, that from wildlife to lush green landscapes, Northeast is completely full of it. So now here I would like to bring in our Gangtok correspondent, the brother state of the Northeast India, Mr. Manik Chatterjee. So Mr. Manik Chatterjee, recently the government of India has approved 40 projects for the development of the tourist sites in 23 states across the country. And the total cost of these projects is 3,295 crore rupees. And I would like you to speak about a particular project which is in your state.
Yes, the government has sanctioned a huge amount to introduce and to develop tourism industry. And Sikkim, being a partner state, has been ushered with two very important projects. First one is, we are getting a skywalk at Namchi, which costs around 97 crore. And it's actually located at Bhaledunga, Yangang, Namchi. That comes under Sikkim. And the Namchi district is actually headquarters of South Sikkim. It's an emerging tourist destination known for its spiritual significance and panoramic beauty. Yangang is one of the smallest subdivision in Namchi district, located at the foothills of Bhaledunga Peak, surrounded by the Mainam Wildlife Sanctuary. And I would like to mention here, the Bhaledunga has a ropeway, which is one of the longest ropeway in our country. And most of the tourists were actually unknown that this thing has a very great significance, a beautiful place to visit. And the second mentionable development is the Nathula, that Nathula Pass. Central government has come up with a development project, infrastructure development, that will include parking station and overall experience of the tourist. So I do expect the footfall of the tourist would definitely increase in the state. Niksha.
Here I would like to mention that Moidams of Assam this year itself were added in the UNESCO World Heritage List. So moving on, Mr. Bhattacharya, now I would like to bring in Paritosh Dixit from Meghalaya, the another beautiful state of our country. Paritosh, could you please enlighten us about the infrastructure development in your state, which has led to the increased footfall tourist in your state?
Recently, the Ministry of Tourism, Government of India, has announced two major projects aimed at transforming Meghalaya into a prominent tourist destination. These projects include the development of Umiam Lake. As you know, Umiam Lake is very like for tourist destination as an ecotourism also. Hub and construction of tourism. Infrastructure at Maukhanu Shillong. This is the place, Maukhanu Shillong. And also government had several steps to develop ethnic tribal cuisine and ethnic tribal folk song and dance in Meghalaya Shillong. Or recently, Chief Minister of Meghalaya Conrad K. Sangma inaugurated a ropeway to Shillong Peak in central place of Shillong itself. ये बहुत ज़्यादा आकर्षण का केंद्र रहेंगे पर्यटकों के लिए बहुत ज़्यादा ही ये महत्वपूर्ण है इम्पोर्टेंट प्लेसेस रहेंगे
Mr. Bhattacharji, I would like to ask you, could you please highlight and speak about the important rail and air connectivity projects which are being developed in the region? Because as you spoke in the beginning itself, the connectivity is the key to success. So could you just enlighten us about it?
As Mr. Shinde was mentioning about the connectivity to Tripura, now after 2014, so there was a stretch of 100 kilometers called the Lamding-Badarpur section. It's a hill section of Assam, where since 1996, the gauge conversion work was not happening. In 2016, the train started. Now, as soon as this happened, so connectivity to Mizoram, Tripura, of course, southern Assam, and even Manipur was possible. So now trains have started going in that direction. The work on infrastructure is happening, and very soon, trains even will go right up to the capital. So what has happened is that now the first gauge conversion has happened. Now the electrification of all the major routes have started happening. So I think that is the infrastructure part of the railways that's happening. Of course, new lines going to newer areas on the periphery, that remains. But the main line up there and also up all the way to Dibrugarh and all that, they are being completely electrified. Secondly, the number of trains and the number of quality trains are also being positioned. There's a Vande Bharat that connects Guwahati with New Jalpaiguri. Very soon, Guwahati to Dibrugarh Vande Bharat train is also starting. So I think railways, of course, it has its long history also in the region, not to all the state, but now it is. Secondly, the air connectivity today, the number of passengers, in fact, Guwahati Airport is one of the busiest airport in the country, and the new terminal is just coming up. It will be inaugurated next year. But if you see the Holongi Airport that has come up in Arunachal Pradesh this year, now today it has become very, very busy airport in its own right. Not only Arunachal, but certain parts of Assam are also being facilitated. The airport just outside of Shillong that was almost non-functional, now flights are regularly happening there. So infrastructure as well as flights have really. So there are a lot of activities that have happened. But what's most important is once you have all this infrastructure, the focus on tourism that all your correspondents mentioned, that's having a big boost, you know, and that's what sustains the economy of a lot of people in the region. And that is where the connectivity, the emotional connect, all of them, you know, really happens. And this Ashtalakshmi festival today, tomorrow and day after in Delhi is, you know, one of the best symbols of understanding where this vision has been and how on the ground it has shown that things are possible if you have a determination. And hence, you know, you showcase this here and a lot of people across the country understand the rich cultural tapestry and the unity and diversity in the Northeast region.
Mr. Bhattacharya, since we began with the festivals, and lastly, I would also like to end the program with the festivals. My last question to you is, how important are these festivals to put that particular region on the world map?
Absolutely. They are very, very important. Even if you see today, Sunita Bhuiya put up a symphony with an ensemble of 36 artists from the Northeastern region, the youngest being the 8-year-old girl Esther Namte from Mizoram. But if you see all the different tribes, all the states they were showcased, they had their own songs and tunes and instruments and dance forms. And, you know, they were all integrated to Vande Mataram in such a nice way. Now, this is that kind of approach. This is that kind of a way in which you connect, you help. That emotional bonding that you build among the various communities as well as with people across the country. So I think this festival is very, very important. And this is itself, this whole 20-minute rendition that has happened, I think it's a great connector.
In the coming days, we'll keep following the progress in the Northeast region. Thank you so much, Mr. Bhattacharya, and thank you so much, Mr. Manas, Mr. Kunal Shinde, Mr. Paritosh Dixit, and Mr. Manik Chatterjee for being a part of this program and discussing this issue tonight.
Thank you very much.
You were listening to a discussion on comprehensive development of Northeast India. The participants are Subimal Bhattacharya, political analyst, and Deeksha Saxena, Akashwani correspondent. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashwani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.